Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You are a few minutes away from an introduction to Electrocast Media, a different podcast drummer. Their beat turned podcast into television series and vice versa. President Peter Rapelson and Chief Executive Mark Netter join me next. Also ahead, calls for Apple TV Plus, video calls for Samsung Smart TVs, NBC organizes family game fight, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York, an hour earlier than usual on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, plus on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and we welcome you to an earlier than usual edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Usually we are on Mondays and Fridays an hour later, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, but we have a special edition for you on this Wednesday, the 3rd of March 2021, and we're happy you're along for the ride. Good guests in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. As always, the number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone? No problem. Chat room is open for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions and be live with you. Peter Rapelson and Mark Netter from Electrocast Media join us live from L.A. after these news notes. A new TV series with more focus on sound than sight will premiere on Apple TV Plus 2 weeks from Friday. Calls, described as an immersive experience, consists of 9 episodes, each depicting a mystery unfolding through a series of phone calls accompanied by minimal yet surreal images. Voice cast members include Rosario Dawson, Clancy Brown, Mark Duplass, Pedro Pascal, Joey King, and Nick Jonas. The series adapts a format created for French TV content maker Canal Plus. And again, calls will premiere 2 weeks from Friday, March 19th. Video chat will become a feature on new smart TV set models later this year from Samsung. Google will set up the chat functionality, handling up to 32 people on a single video call. During a video presentation yesterday morning, Samsung disclosed it will also implement Smart Trainer, an interactive fitness application, Xbox games on the TV set, and TikTok on specific smart TVs, and that'll be coming as 2021 unfolds. NBC's latest primetime game show deal is a 10-episode commitment to Family Game Fight. That's Family Game Fight, F-I-G-H-T. 2 families will participate in each episode, with co-hosts Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard facing off as members of a family team. Like Ellen's Game of Games, this series is inspired by a recurring segment of Ellen DeGeneres' Daytime Talk Hour. Bell and Shepard will also team up as co-executive producers of Game Fight. Now some quickies. The final results of Sunday's Golden Globe Awards presentation on NBC, 6.9 million people catch the event live. That's the lowest viewership since 2008. Revolt has a new chief executive, Sean Diddy Combs' hip-hop venture on television. Ottavio Samuels, he's previously chief operating officer. Again, Revolt's new chief executive officer is Ottavio Samuels. He was previously chief operating officer. The former CEO resigned from that position last summer. And be of great cheer, fans of The Simpsons on Fox. The long-running tune will remain there through summer 2023. In fact, coming up in 2 weeks, The Simpsons will celebrate its 700th original episode on Fox. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, the two key people behind podcaster Electrocast Media, Peter Rapelson, the president, and Mark Netter, the chief executive officer. Peter and Mark, welcome in.
Great to be here, Simon. Thank you, Simon.
It's a pleasure to have you both aboard, Peter and Mark. And Peter, I'll start with you. How long has Electrocast been in business?
Well, I met Mark about 2 years ago, and almost to the day a year ago, we founded the company. And it was ironic because, Mark, if I'm not mistaken, we literally opened up our business, the week that the pandemic had shut down L.A., is that right?
Right. I mean, you know, when you and I met, and one of the reasons that kind of the podcasting idea came up was because, you know, you own a whole studio facility in North Hollywood with 14 different studios, recording rooms, mixing rooms. And we were working out of there actually for about 9 months before we officially incorporated. And then within a week of that incorporation, which is a year ago yesterday, we were no longer able to go due to the California lockdown.
But what was amazing was that because we'd already had all the technology in place, by the time we went home with our computers and such, we understood how to really manage this business almost entirely remotely. And we've been able to develop and begin production on, I think, what is it, 10, 11 series now.
That's right.
Our first series on the air and in publication. And it's been no smooth sailing, no looking back. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say this, but maybe the pandemic accelerated our business.
You know, Mark, and by the way, congratulations to both of you on your first anniversary. You know, Mark, we now have this incredible space of podcasters looking to adapt their programming for television. You know, and thanks to the success of shows like Dirty John on USA Network and Modern Love on Amazon, we're seeing this incredible flood tide of development in terms of podcasts. Now, your company is actually going one better. The idea, as I understand it, is you're going to be taking your podcast and try to adapt them to TV, but also you want to adapt TV series into podcasts. Has that been the strategy all along, or is this something that has been sort of recently coming into play because of what you've been accomplishing?
Well, right from the beginning, we were kind of playing to our strengths. Peter has a huge background in the music business. He's written, produced over 30 number one hits, but he's also an expert in terms of rights, not just music rights, but media rights. I come from an entertainment advertising background, 17 years, working with major studios, broadcast networks, cable networks, video game companies. And what we saw with the podcast world was that these rights were already getting snapped up and being optioned for TV shows, being turned into books, live events, merchandise, movies even. And right from the beginning, we thought what we create, we want to always have the eye towards incubating those rights for other media, for ancillary media, that it's not just a podcast. The podcast is just the hub of the wheel. And then the other side of it was, why don't we take some TV shows and ones where the audio is really fantastic because either the production quality or the guests or the unusual subject matter, and turn those into podcasts by basically taking the audio from the shows, adding new intros, outros, new interstitial material, anything that podcastifies that audio. And our first series, which everyone can listen to right now, is called The Tech Talk Podcast. Tech Talk, one word. The Tech Talk Podcast, available on Amazon, Spotify, TuneIn, all over the place. And we have taken this series and from where it's in 500 million homes worldwide and refashioned it for the podcast world.
We call that refreshed content, but here's another example that's interesting, Simon. We were approached by a talented director, writer, Jennifer Nash, who had a TV series that she had baked and out and written. And we decided to acquire the rights as a podcast first to something that was designed to be a television show. Now, it went better than we could have possibly expected because we wound up getting household names, Eric Roberts, Sherilyn Fenn, Ed Asner, Victor Ward, Jennifer Cox. These are major actors that were probably interested in doing the TV show as much as the podcast, but we cast the show. We've now got the first season in the can, and they're all interested in, guess what, being attached when it goes to television series. So there is definitely a crossover in our world, and everything we do, like Mark said, is potentially audio first, but we're even developing the television aspects or the additional rights as in some cases before we even produce the podcast.
Well, speaking with the two people behind Electrocast Media, the podcaster out of Los Angeles. We've got the president, Peter Rapelson, and the chief executive officer, Mark Letter. They're both with us live this half hour on this special, early-than-usual edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. We usually come your way here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio, Mondays and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Tom Knapp, I'm with you live from New York, 49 degrees at the top of the hour. And in case you have not heard the news, Governor Andrew Cuomo just announced in the last hour that starting in April, entertainment venues in New York City and New York State will be reopened or will be able to open up. 100 people indoors per event and up to 200 people outdoors per event starting again in early April. And hopefully this is another sign that the world is reopening and that we are licking this pandemic now and forever. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got a big 90-minute episode for you to wrap the week up on Friday. First up, Paramount Plus goes from CBS All Access to its own service starting tomorrow. And yes, they will have at least one original new series that will be premiering tomorrow. And we will have the people behind that series. It's called For Heaven's Sake. We've got the co-stars, who are also the creators and the executive producers. Their names are Mike Mildon and Jackson Rowe. It's a very unusual mix of crime procedural and satire. I think you'll enjoy hearing Mike and Jackson. They'll be our lead guests on Friday. Also, BYU TV is a brand new series launching later this month. It's the unscripted Operation Awesome, where some really awesome kids do some very awesome things for themselves and for others around them. Executive producer Will Nutbacker will be with us. And finally, the documentary series and network aimed at smart TV sets and devices, Magellan TV, the managing director, Greg Siefenbach. It's all coming up Friday. Big 9 edition for you starting at 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Mark, when you look for material for podcasts, are there certain kinds of things that you are looking for with the TV adaptation in mind?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we're looking for, as I like to say, we like to hit the ball where others don't. And a lot of what we're doing is diverse voices. A lot of it is dealing with underserved audiences and bringing things out there that you haven't quite heard in the same way. And everything that we look at, we say, does this person have a personality that could translate well to television? Is there a story here or subject matter that could translate well to books or to any other media? Is it something that could be live events? And Peter, do you want to add to that?
I mean, in the end, we try not to be genre specific. We're looking at the company more as categories, and we like to divide them into three categories. First one is the one that Mark mentioned. We call it refreshed. It's where we take, whether it be legacy or current content that already exists, we license it and we repurpose it. Whether we add to it or whether we give new context with new hosts or new content, it's based on something that was already produced, and we like to give it a current feel and an update. The second is your common, what we're doing right now, talk show, Howard Stern, Joe Rogan. It's very sort of contemporary, topical, and sometimes not terribly evergreen. It's more current events, etc. But the third category is the refreshed, is the scripted content. And that is the one that is docuseries, dramatic, narrative. And those are the ones that tend to have the longest long tail life. We call that evergreen content, and it translates well to dramatic series, to television, and to other franchises. And I think that's ultimately all three of those is what makes our company valuable.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, of the 11 or 12 podcast series that you're currently running on, which are the ones that are now getting a lot of feedback or listenership?
You know, Tech Talk already had some momentum going in, so obviously that was our lead. The next show that we're going to really focus on is Nightmare Road Stories, and this is a real fun one. It's actually hosted by Alicia Cooper, who is a woman of color who has been a stand-up comedian her whole life. She's also an executive producer, but she's invited on her peers. These are guys like Roy Wood and Lou Nell, really just classic, iconic comedians, stand-up comedians. And Nightmare Road Stories is a chance for them to not only chop it up as peers, but to share the most hysterical, insane
stories of being on the road as a comedian that you can possibly imagine. I don't want to give too much of it away because it's a roller coaster ride, but that one seems to be attracting a lot of attention. This narrative show that I mentioned to you, it's called The Last Saturday Night, and it's Jennifer Nash is the creator. And the premise of the show is that there is going to be a group of friends who all have real stories about what it was like post, pre, and during pandemic. And the last Saturday night prior to shutdown, what was that like? The log line is, what would you do with your last night of freedom? So there's different strokes for different folks. We've got a crazy show called Bodacious Minds, which is a sexy female empowerment entrepreneurial spiritualist talking about what it was like to be an escort and what it's like to be a boardroom member now and how she turned her past life into a successful professional life. And on the flip side of that extreme spectrum is The New Feminist, which is all about same thing, basically, female empowerment, but from a very much more modernist, conservatist view. So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. So, Mark, of your group of shows right now, which one is closest to becoming a TV series?
It's a great question. I would say that all of them have some potential, the ones that are not coming from series already. I would say that Nightmare Road Stories has really great potential because Alicia Cooper's personality is so incredibly strong and fun and inviting. She does a monologue at the beginning of each show that's, I mean, honestly, hilarious. And the conversations that she's having with these stand-up comics, her peers, as Peter said, it really gives you that feeling of you just went and saw the stand-up show and you got invited to the deli next door for, after-show drinks and dinner to be able to hear what they're actually saying to each other, how they talk to each other, to within their own peer group, how they speak to each other. And it's something extremely special.
Yeah, it's almost as if you were at a dinner table with friends having a conversation, and you don't get to hear that much. People always are on television shows for the greater audience, but this is as much for themselves as it is for us.
The other thing I would mention,
you know,
too,
Peter,
is Peter talked about with – oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention one of the things that's interesting about The Last Saturday Night, which Peter's talked about, which is our scripted series with writer-director Jennifer Nash, is that it seems almost tailor-made for television. We have folks that are stars from TV. The lead actor on the show is Sherilyn Fenn, who fans will know from Twin Peaks, from Gilmore Girls, from Shameless. She's fantastic. She kind of plays a stand-in for the writer-director. And these stories are, it's almost like a Sex in the City style of kind of comedy with a little bit of drama mixed in. I think very appealing with a potential TV appeal.
Yeah, we've got some all stars on this. We've got Ed Asner, who maybe is the most awarded actor of all time. He's in his 90s, and here he is on a show that's very current. Jennifer Cox, who's on Web Therapy, that's a big hit.
Actually, Jennifer Elise Cox is her full name, and she's been on Web Therapy with Lisa Kudrow, which is a great show, and she is got fantastic youth appeal as well.
And Web Therapy, for those who don't know, was a series that originally started on the web and then moved to Showtime, where it had a very nice run under Kudrow's supervision.
Yeah, I think the thing, the overall message here is this. If you know Hollywood history, you know that Hollywood, what it does best is it takes material from other mediums and turns them into Hollywood properties. So in the early days, even in the silence, they were taking books. There's a silent version of Wizard of Oz, Don Juan, all kinds of stuff. Then sound comes in. They go to Broadway. They're taking plays and just making them by the droves. We get more to the modern era, TV shows. I think for like about 20 years, every single TV show from our childhood got turned into a movie, whether it was SWAT or Starsky and Hutch, whatever it might
be. Mission Impossible.
And, Exactly. And now it's podcasts. And, you know, you have companies like Wondery where every single one of their shows is under option for TV. Whether they all get made as TV shows, don't know. But many of them will be. And this is because there is this voracious appetite for material for Hollywood to take and turn to other things. Anything where you have brand recognition that you've built in advance becomes incredibly valuable for exploitation in other media. A friend of mine once said something a long time ago, before it was even, I think, is true, it was about 15 years ago, that brands are the new networks. That in the age where we're not all watching ABC, NBC, CBS like I was when I was a kid, and there were only three channels, a brand itself can become a whole network for all kinds of content in all kinds of media. And that's what we're set up to do.
You know, another way to put this
is that back in the – I'm sorry, go ahead, Mark. Mark, Peter.
No, I was just going to add to what Mark said. And another way to put what Mark is saying is that we're in the business of building audience. And as soon as there's an audience that's built into any brand or IP, we can take that and really do business with other markets, other studios, and other formats.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, before a little historical note, when television started, many of the shows were taken from radio, whether it was Dragnet or Jack Benny's program or other shows of that caliber, of all different kinds, including soap operas. And at one point, you had not only radio and television versions of the same program simultaneously, but down the stretch of the 1950s, you had shows like Have Gun, Will Travel, and other television shows being adapted for radio into the early 1960s. So it's a really amazing thing to see this sort of podcast side of things where, again, it's podcast, this new form of radio, still very new, and television, both intertwining with each other. We've got the people from Electrocast with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. That's President Peter Rapelson and Chief Executive Mark Netta. They'll be with us for a few more minutes, and there's still time for you to call and be in with the conversation. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, reset from last week, the co-founder and chief executive officer of Books, that's the interesting storytelling app available on smart TV sets and devices, Shannon Bex will be with us. She's also chief communications officer, and we'll talk about what Books is doing, including their campaign that they launched this week with Read Across America. And I might even ask about the Dr. Seuss situation, that the controversy that's been springing up the last couple of days that involves Read Across America. So we'll get into that as well and what implications that may have for TV. Shannon Bex from Books will join us as one of our guests Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Peter, with all the options you have to have TV versions of your podcast, whether it is the broadcast networks, the cable networks, a Netflix, a Hulu, a Paramount Plus, a Apple TV Plus and so forth. What's your sense about a good fit for your podcast? What do you see opening for the market?
Well, that's a tough question, Simon, because I don't think it's just one. In fact, you know, there are certain companies that align with certain studios. Okay, if you're a news company, you're going to be looking to the news outlets, CNN or MSNBC or whatever that might be. But we're really looking to serve underserved markets, and we're looking to hit the ball where other folks don't. So we like to think of ourselves more as what you might remember as the RKO model. This was films that were a little bit more niche, but that reached a specific audience and eventually grew. And that's really that's kind of our role model in a way. Mark, what do you compare us to?
Well, it's funny. RKO definitely is one, but that's a little older for a lot of folks out there. They were called Poverty Row in the old studio days of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. But they put out movies like Citizen Kane that are classics forever. They just figured out how to do stuff on a budget and still make them fantastic movies. New Line Cinema originally started out long before it was acquired by Warner Brothers as serving underserved audiences. And they would put movies out that the studios wouldn't care to put out, and then they would grow these incredible audiences, and eventually they got bought by Warner Brothers and brought into the studio fold. So I think one of the things that's really important to note here, Simon, is where we are in the history of the podcasting industry. it's really early days. You know, it's sure podcasting's been around for 10, 15 years, and there's some pioneers that are still working, like Mark, like the WTF podcast with Mark Maron. But there's an audience, the podcast audience overall is growing. This is the first year that it will hit $1 billion in aggregate advertising sales on podcasts. It's moved from advertisers just doing direct marketing where you get a code to doing brand marketing where they're just trying to get awareness. And there's experimentation that's going on like crazy throughout the podcast universe. Experimentation in terms of genre and crossing different genres. Is this a scripted series? Is it a fictional series? Is it a drama? Is it a docuseries? Is it both? There's formats that are being experimented with and lengths. We've seen that the average podcast length has come down from being around an hour to being closer to half an hour over the past 2 years. And we're even looking at some experiments in what we call mini-sodes that could be 5 or 10 minutes long, which for a could potentially take the same show that appeals to an older demographic and make it appeal to a younger demographic that doesn't like to, you know, click on anything that looks like it's going to take them more than 10 minutes of their time to listen to.
Mark, final question to you. Actually, a two-parter. First of all, we have the Interactive Ad Bureau doing their annual podcast upfront in early May. Are there any plans for Electrocast to be part of that? And secondly, when do we think we will see your first podcast become a TV series?
Two great questions. We are not part of Upfront this particular year. It'd be probably a different story next year. And as far as TV series goes, I mean, look, we have our first podcast out. We've got, as Peter mentioned, another 11 podcasts that are in the works. It could be any time over the next 18 months to 24 months that you see a TV series coming out of an Electrocast podcast. Time will tell.
And our time is up, so we'll leave things at that. Electrocast is available on the web, and here's where you can find their wonderful selection of podcasts as well as future ones they'll be doing. It's www.electrocast.com. It's www.electrocast.com. I had a chance to check the site, by the way, earlier today before we started the show, and I think you'll find their range of podcasts really quite remarkable. And maybe sooner than we think, we'll see their podcast become TV series. You never, never know in this wacky world of the TV medium. Peter Rafelson and Mark Netter, thank you both very much for coming aboard. Congratulations on your first anniversary with Electrocast. And hopefully, and by the way, personal invitation, when your first show is ready to go on whatever service or network it's on, we'd love to have you both back along with the series creator. That's the deal.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you so much, Simon.
You're welcome, Peter and Mark. Take care. Have a great rest of the week.
Bye now.
Take care now.
Peter Rafelson and Mark Netter from Electrocast Media joining us live from Los Angeles. Now some words from our fine friends at Audible.com. If you're looking for a unique suspense tale, how about this one, The Guest List by Lucy Foley. That's The Guest List by Lucy Foley. And this unique suspense tale taking place in a very unusual environment, well, that can be one of your books you can at and enjoy with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is and always been the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and if you listen to them on any device, include whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Just sign up. That's all you have to do. Sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, health and wellness information, 1 month trial to listen, and great customer service of Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Now, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you're in greater luck because you can make your trial 2 books for the trial of one. And one of those books can be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It's everything from original audio productions and podcasts to great regional theater, off-Broadway and Broadway material, and wonderful one-woman and one-man shows. So have a making this week the week that you decide that audibletrial.com/televised is a great place to go on the web, and that a trial can be your introduction to how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. One more time, audibletrial.com/televised makes a great gift for you or someone you love. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week with our Rescue Me Uncensored book, The Big Prize. Plus, we'll revisit one of our subjects from our first episode of the week on Monday, Joyland, and why it could have monumental consequences for television. And also, Another death in the NFL Today family. We'll talk about that too. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker and TuneIn.com, together reaching over 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel. Always keep you updated on what's going on with this pandemic throughout the U.S. and throughout the world. The Coronavirus News Channel, featuring all sorts of special reports, podcasts, interactive material, and much, much more. Coronavirus News Channel, check it out 24/7. TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised, second half of our program all about TV's current and future. Great to have you aboard. And 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We're coming your way, by the way, an hour earlier than usual. Usually we're on from 3 to 4 or 4:30 Eastern time. The reason why? Well, at 4 o'clock Eastern time, E&E Networks will have their annual upfront event, virtual this time around. And we'll be covering it for MediaVillage.com. Media Village, the Media Leadership website. And incidentally, there may be a possibility to hobnob with some of the A&E network executives and some of the talent from their upcoming programs. So that's why we are doing our show earlier than normal. But right now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're looking for our second weekly winner in a row. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the official book companion to the classic FX series from Dennis Leary and Peter Tolan, Rescue Me. It's called Rescue Me Uncensored, wonderful book. Episode guide music playlist on the first four seasons of this critically acclaimed FX series, one of their first great, great programs, by the way, way, way back. So here's the question. We gave it to you first on Monday's show, and let's see if we can get it with an answer today. Let's preface it this way. You know that Gunsmoke was the longest-running Western on television until recently. It was the longest-running dramatic show on all TV until it was caught up or tied first by Law & Order, and then surpassed by Law & Order Special Victims Unit. In terms of a live-action scripted series, of course, in terms of animation, that honor belongs to The Simpsons. Well, for all of its run, Death Valley Days, which started in 1951 in black and white, ended in color in 1970, which was syndicated, by the way, never ran on network television, was always syndicated to local stations. It had one sponsor, and that's our question. Who sponsored Death Valley Days? Who sponsored Death Valley Days? And we need an exact name. And there's two answers to it, by the way. Same company, but went by two exact names in the course of the run. Once again, the question, who sponsored Death Valley Days? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your address along with your answer. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win Rescue Me Uncensored. Once again, that question, who sponsored Death Valley Days? If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. The UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. In case you missed our episode on Monday, something happened that was quite extraordinary. One of the great joys about doing this program is that there always is the opportunity for a segment or an interview where you, along with the listener, are getting a revelation. And a revelation of the kind of monumental consequence that what you're covering could provide for television, for TV's future. And that, in a nutshell, is what happened on Monday when we led off with a segment about a new TV series premiering March 22nd on YouTube called Joyland. Let me sum it up quickly for those who didn't catch the episode on Monday, which, by the way, you can catch after our episode today at www.blogtalkradio.com. It's televised on all of our podcast affiliates. Joyland is produced here in New York. It's set in the 1960s. It was put together by Gary Morenstein, former Lifetime public relations official, who's been on this program before when he had his post-career as a playwright and novelist. And Joyland is all about the times of the 60s and how they relate to what's going on today. And the situation with that is this. Most scripted series and unscripted series are produced or filmed several months in advance. That's because you need the time to go into editing, post-production, add music, in some cases special effects, and also deliver the product to the network involved just to go by stands and practices, especially with broadcast or cable television. Joyland doesn't operate that way. This is an example of a scripted television series that's being produced and put together on the fly, where the first episode on March 22nd is going to run on YouTube, which is available on most smart TV sets and smart devices, a week or two after it was produced. Within a week or two. That means the filming of the taping, the editing, the post-production, everything is done within a week or two before it airs. And as Gary Morrissey told us, as of today, he's already working on the second episode. They don't have a bank of episodes to work with that have already been written up. He is actually writing the show on the fly. They are directing the show on the fly. And how they can do it? They use Zoom. Zoom is in the actors' homes or locations, and they use the Zoom footage plus with other things that they put together under the director that we had on the program, by the way, and that's Damone Serafin. And then the show is post-produced from there. It's really, really amazing. The closest analogy I can give you about this is South Park. Many a South Park episode from Terry Parker and crew was given to Comedy Central hours or a day or two before it aired there. One episode in particular, I understand, was delivered to Comedy Central without going by their standards and practice department less than an hour or two before it actually made the air, before you actually saw it when you tuned in to watch South Park. Now, what you got to think about is this. If this program has any level of success, any level, on YouTube, the consequences for all of television, scripted and unscripted TV, is monumental. At the very least, it's going to give Zoom life post-pandemic as a new production tool for TV creators. The bigger consequence is the opportunity to speed up the production process, do it seamlessly, do it with broadcast or Netflix, et cetera, quality, and be more relevant in the case of a show, let's say, dealing with contemporary characters, contemporary issues, to actually be more timely on a per-episode basis, which in some cases you can't do. So let's see how Joyland goes when it premieres on YouTube March 22nd. And to Gary and Devon and everybody involved, this is a big deal. Like I said, monumental consequences for TV production, especially as things are revving up post-pandemic. So we'll see what happens. And if you want to know more about the program, go to YouTube.com. YouTube.com. Once again, Joyland premieres on March 22nd. YouTube, by the way, is now being seen more and more through the smart TV set as opposed or device as opposed to the PC, the laptop, the smartphone, the tablet. All right? All right. I understand we have a call, so let's see if we can take it. Hello, you're on Smart Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Hello. Let's try again. Let's see if this person is indeed on. Hello, Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Be Televised. You're on. Hello. Well, I guess not. I know the person was sort of holding in the middle of my commentary here. And if you want to call back, please let me know. We'll try again if we see that you're coming back on the screen. All right? All right. Also on Monday's episode, we paid tribute to Irv Cross, the former pro football defensive player for the Philadelphia Eagles, Los Angeles Rams, who in 1971 joined CBS Sports as the first African-American and maybe analyst of color on television. And, of course, from 1975 to 1989, he joined Brent Musburger, Phyllis George, and Jimmy the Greek Snyder as the co-host of the groundbreaking NFL pregame show, The NFL Today, which really set the standard for all the pregame shows of any sport that you see anywhere on television. I mentioned in passing that The NFL Today was produced at the time by Mike Pearl. I didn't know at the time, but that was his first role in television. He was hired to work along with director Bob Fishman, Emmy Award winner, and Bob Wester, the CBS Sports president at the time, who I had a chance to get to know in the early 1980s while I was working at Cablevision Magazine. And at the time, he was also working for Turner, TBS, TNT, et cetera. And as it turned out, like I said, Pearl was one of the key players who turned the NFL today and really transformed pregame sports television to what we know it as today. As it turned out, yesterday it was announced that Mike Pearl has passed away at the age of 77. Pearl, along with Rune Arledge and many others, was one of the real innovators in sports TV, not only for pregame shows, but for sports coverage. He worked for CBS, not only doing pre- and postgame shows, but also individual events as well. He worked with ABC on Olympics coverage, both Winter and Summer Olympics, came back to CBS to do their short-lived coverage of the Winter Olympics in the early 1990s, and a whole lot more. And then he went to Turner Broadcasting, Turner Sports, and among other things, he set in motion the NBA on TNT, and he created the Inside the NBA series with Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson Jr., Shaq, etc., that has now become the pregame standard and the postgame standard for pro basketball games. Mike had a sensational career, really one of the outstanding innovators in sports television, and he will be missed by everybody. It's so ironic that his death was announced a day after Irv Cross's passing. Again, condolences to Mike's family, his millions of followers, and anyone in sports television who is anybody in sports television, I'm sure, is thinking of Mike and the great innovations he made in his decades-long career in the world of sports TV with CBS, ABC, and Turner, and other places as well post that time. Mike Pearl, dead at the age of 77. Again, thank you to our pair from Electricast Media for being with us on today's episode. But let's see if we can try one more time with this phone call. Hello, you're on Smart Beat Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Person dropped out of the line, so sorry about that. Anyway, let's get ready to head out for the day and for that A&E upfront that's taking place at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific. Again, thanks to our guests for being with us, all of you for tuning in. Remember, we have a big 90-minute episode at our regular time on Friday at 3:30 Pacific. Joining us will be from the new Paramount Plus series, For Heaven's Sake, that will be premiering tomorrow when CBS All Access becomes Paramount Plus. Co-stars, great executive producers Mike Molden and Jackson Rowe. Then from the new BYU TV series, Operation Awesome, executive producer Will Nelfacker and Magellan TV managing director Greg Diefenbach. Magellan TV, the popular all-documentary service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And once again, next Monday, one of our guests will be, reset from last month, co-founder and chief communications officer of Vooks, the storytelling service also for smart TV sets and devices, Shannon Beck. If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, not only this month, but also throughout 2021 so far, well, go to our homepage anytime it's available for you, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised, available 24/7 for you. And also check out our podcasts. They're available also anytime, round the clock, at Verbal, at iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, also at Amazon Music's Podcast Network, plus Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast sites as well. And once again, if you'd like a podcast site that's a favorite from yours, like whether it's Spotify, Westwood One, et cetera, to also join our podcast family, let them know. Tell about our show and have them contact me as well at simonapple04@yahoo.com, and we'll start the negotiations going and make it all work for you and for them. All right? All righty. And remember, you can use our email, simonapple04@yahoo.com, to give us your thoughts about where you see TV at, where it's going. Also, don't forget, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And we also use our email for a feature that we do regularly called The Show to Know. Is there a TV series that you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, we'd like to give it the attention, and we want to hear from you about it, because if we use a suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and you never know. Your show to know could be our show to know in the near future. And remember, we love hearing from you. We do respond in 24 hours. In addition to my email, you can find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, follow me on LinkedIn. I do respond. Why? Because, as always, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Eddie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial, one or two free audiobooks, and much more, It's audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow will be televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your midweek. We are back in less than 48 hours, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Again, we're back at our regular time this Friday. And whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers about the pandemic. We are licking it. We are licking it big. And sooner or later, we're going to send this thing to Kingdom Come forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.